Yo, have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? When I was trying to get this podcast off the ground, I had a lot of questions. How do I record an episode? How do I get my show onto all the apps that people like to listen to? How do you make money? The answer was pretty simple for me. I started using Anchor. Anchor is a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing your podcast. And best of all, it's 100% free and super easy to use. And now, Anchor can match you with great sponsors who want to advertise in your podcast. So that means you can get paid immediately, like right away. In fact, that's what I'm doing right now by reading you this ad. It's super simple. So if you always wanted to start a podcast, let's start now. Go to anchor.fm/start to join me and the diverse community of producers using Anchor. Again, that's anchor.fm/start. See you soon. What's up, everybody? And welcome back to the Stretch 4 podcast. I'm your host, Peter Tran, and on the line I got my pick and pop partner, Josh Cohen. How you doing?
Still on that championship hangover.
Still?
Oh, yeah.
Dude, it's been like 2 weeks?
It's going to last the entire summer, baby.
Oh my god. Banger in the paint, Rajan Walia, how you feeling?
I'm good. I'm feeling the exact same way Josh is, but this NBA free agency is going to knock me right out of my hangover.
Whoa, free agency, eh? You're already looking forward to it?
Of course. We're like, what, 3 days away, 4 days away?
Yeah, it's true, I guess. It's on June 30th this year at 6 p.m. EST. Yo, how do you guys feel about where free agency starts compared to the draft? Would you rather it be before or after?
I would say that it's probably in a good spot right now. I think the thing that we really need to talk about, but this is probably for another day, is when the award ceremony is, because it just seems so like out of place. I think it's good to have it after the draft, especially because sometimes players get traded with the draft, albeit there wasn't really any big trades this year in terms of big players moving during the draft. And their contracts are hard to move, I think, during this time. But I like the draft before.
I would say that there is an argument for the other side as well, because if you have free agency before the draft, you can sort of mold your team and then base your, you know, draft situation afterwards and who you're going to pick as a young player based on how you did in free agency. And, you know, the teams that struck out might be more willing to go for the fences and pick, you know, the Bruno Caboclos of the world versus picking a guy that's just out of, you know, 4 years out of college. So, I don't know. 2 years it depends how you look at the NBA, away. Really.
From being 2 years away.
I think he might have arrived now.
You think so?
He was pretty good in the second part of the last year.
I don't know about good. Like, he was acceptable.
Well, he's an NBA player now, and he got a 2-year contract, so he's going to get some minutes.
That's true. At least he secured the bag. That's all that really matters from a man.
Exactly.
All right, well, we're going to start off with some free agency talk, as you've already alluded to, Raj. And it's one of those years where you have a lot of the top stars going. You got Kawhi is a free agent, Kevin Durant, although he's injured. Kyrie is a free agent, Kemba Walker, Klay, the list goes on. So, I don't know, let's just start right at the top. Now, who's at the top, Kevin Durant or Kawhi Leonard? That's the real question. Josh?
I think right now you have to say Kawhi Leonard just because Kevin Durant's injured. I mean, before the injury, I mean, you could easily argue that Kevin Durant's a better player. But as of right now, as people are calling him, you know, Kawhi Leonard is the king. Kingmaker, King of the North, whatever you want to call him.
Kingmaker. I don't think anyone's calling him that, man. I'm sorry.
Josh, you better trademark that.
So currently, Kawhi is making $23 million. He's already opted out of his contract to be an unrestricted free agent. And the top two suitors we have are the now champions of the world, Toronto Raptors, and the Los Angeles Clippers, who are close to where he grew up, basically, right? So we all knew that last year when Kawhi went to Toronto, he was obviously not a fan of the winter. He didn't know anything about the organization. And they've done their best to completely sell the guy. The load management throughout the year, they've basically done everything around him, right? You play whenever you want. You take the back end of back-to-backs off. And then you win a championship with a guy. I mean, how do you say no to this type of team now?
Well, I think just to answer the question, it's going to come down to a personal decision. As you mentioned, the Raptors did everything. And what the Clippers can offer is just their location, being close to family and friends, where he grew up. Also, like, I think maybe there we haven't really talked about kind of what the future of the Clippers looks like versus the Raptors. Like, the Raptors are more of an aging team, but they've already won a championship and you have the formula. Whereas in the Clippers, maybe very competitive for the next 3-4 years, just on how the team is set up and the role players like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Patrick Beverley, obviously being an older player, but they have Shamet, they have Montrezl Harrell. Like, they have a lot of good pieces, and that's what the Clippers did a really good job of.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to look at Kawhi from an LA Clippers perspective, I think the biggest thing you have to look at, as you said, like, the roster is pretty well built so far with a lot of good role players and a lot of good young players. But the thing is, if they get Kawhi, they should be able to pretty easily get a second top-tier free agent, a guy like Al Horford or, you know, some of the other guys that are out there. I mean, they have so much cap space right now. I think they have 2 max slots now. So if they don't end up using that to get Kawhi Leonard, they're probably going to run it back and then, you know, maybe sign a bunch of guys on 1 or 2 year deals and then hope to strike in free agency in a couple of years and hope to stay competitive until then.
Could Jimmy Butler be one of those kind of guys that goes to LA then? Yeah. If they strike out on Kawhi, you give Butler like a 4-year deal.
I just don't think they're going to do that. Like, I want to hear what you guys have to say, but I think they're really looking for like the cream of the crop and how their team is built. And I think Jerry West, who's probably making a lot of the decisions or has at least a say in it, really wants the player like Kawhi Leonard, Kevin Durant, like one of those A-list, best in the world type of players. No offense to Jimmy Butler, great player, but he's kind of a very, very good second option, but he's not your primary guy, I think.
Yeah, I would agree with that too. I don't really think they're going to be going for like a second tier type of free agent like Jimmy Butler. He's not in the cream of the crop, but he's pretty close. But at the same time, they already got rid of Tobias Harris because they didn't want that, you know, not quite franchise type guy that's getting the max contract that's eating up your cap for the next 4 years. And plus, Jimmy's been injured the last, you know, well, it's almost his entire career really. He's had some knee injuries. And once his deal is going to be up, he's going to be, what, 34 years old? So I don't think that the Clippers are in a position to sign him. I think they're going to go for the world, basically. And if they don't get, you know, Kevin Durant, Kawhi Leonard type, they're just going to run the team back and, you know, try to remain like an 8-seed type of team until they get the big fish.
Yeah, what if Toronto makes a run for Jimmy Butler? And then they can load manage Kawhi and Jimmy.
And have fun with it.
Yeah! Make sure he's not injured for another year, you know what I mean?
Yeah, both guys end up playing like 50 games, but come playoff time, oof, that's a beast right there.
Exactly. Yeah. Look at that defense. My God. It's incredible.
Yeah, but I don't think the Raptors even have the cap space to make that happen. I know this is a fantasy world, but I just think like now, like kind of just talking about it, like the Clippers are really all in on Kawhi Leonard. Like, this is their big play. If they get him, they're automatically a contender for an NBA final, like at least an NBA finals appearance. If not, like, they're going to be in that make the playoffs, gain more experience, put more pieces around, and maybe attract the next big free agent.
Yeah, it's pretty much all it, right? What do you
leaves them desperate, and sometimes desperate teams can actually win over a player, and obviously they don't have to sell Kawhi on the location.
Yeah, I mean, Josh, as a Raptors fan, how do you feel?
Right now, I think it's 50-50. Though, I am somewhat confident after Masai's press conference yesterday. He seemed pretty confident. And, you know, even if we don't get Kawhi back, I'm pretty confident. Like, Masai's staying now. He's already said that. So he's not going to be going to Washington. So I'm pretty confident he's going to be able to rebuild the team on the fly. Sort of like what Houston's done the last 10, 15 years with getting good players in until they're able to catch another big fish. So
was there ever really like an expectation that Masai would leave Toronto though? Because I knew that they were offering him a lot of money in Washington, but it never really felt like there was any traction on it. You know what I mean?
So we're getting to the ESPN bashing portion of the podcast now. So
nice and early, man. Come on.
It seems like all ESPN is pushing the last 3 weeks since we've won the championship is, oh, Masai's going to be leaving, Kawhi's definitely leaving, and anybody who speaks out against that is looked at in a different way. Like, the only guys that have said that Kawhi's probably staying is, like, Jalen Rose and everyone else, especially Woj has been pushing this agenda for the last, like, 3 weeks. And it does seem like Ballmer's paying the media in order to get favorable, media content for the Clippers.
Yo, that's some crazy conspiracy theory stuff.
But you know what? I want to agree with that. I feel like there's just, like, first of all, like, all these reports that are coming out flat out say we have no links to Kawhi Leonard. We have no links to his camp. We have no idea what he's thinking. But you know what? The Clippers are having increased chance. Why? Like, no one knows. And I think there is, like, kind of a push from the media to get Kawhi into a bigger market so they can talk about him every day on, like, First Take or Undisputed. Like, it's not just ESPN, but it just seems like the media is really pushing this. Kawhi's leaving Toronto, like, have fun with him for the next 10 days or whatever. But yeah, I think going back to kind of like just Kawhi and like how the team set up, I think the Raptors with Masai staying, they really can kind of like sell that to Kawhi as in like, hey, this is a successful executive. He'll put the pieces around you. Like Pascal's really like kind of the key piece in the future over the next 3-4 years that will be in Toronto. And you have a good GM in Masai who can put pieces around you.
I'm also of the opinion that when Kawhi signs, whether it's the Clippers or the Raptors, or I don't think he's going anywhere else, but hypothetically, if he went to the third team, he's signing for either the full 4 years with another team or the 5 years with Toronto. I don't think he's going to do the one-on-one based on A, what his health has been in the past, and then B, seeing what happened with Klay Thompson and Kevin Durant in the finals. I just don't think that he's the type of player that's going to try to risk a one-on-one type of deal where he takes the 1 year with the player option for the second year. I just can't see him doing that, even though he make a little bit more money afterwards, or a lot more money, actually. Make like
a lot more, yeah.
$40 million more, whatever it is, if he gets to his 10 years and, you know, in his career. But with his injury history and, you know, him saying that he's wanted to have a long career with a team and stay healthy, I think that he's going to take, you know, security over possibly making $40 million more with a chance of getting injured next year.
Yeah, but he can't do the 1-1. Like 1-1 will only put him at 9 years next year. So he would have to do like a 2-1. So that's why it's really unlikely.
No, he could just keep doing that, sort of like what LeBron did. Just keep doing the 1-1 until he gets to the 10 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But it's just a bit risky, and I think Kawhi kind of probably wants to have, like, as you mentioned, just a bit more of stability.
All right, so where do you guys think he's going to go? / stay.
Josh, you take this one.
I think he's going to sign the 5 years with Toronto. I think that over the course of the season, his relationship with McKechnie, especially with the training staff and Toronto willing to do the load management probably the next 5 years if he does stay. He's probably only going to play like 60 games a year, which is fine as long as he's healthy for the playoffs. And I think that he believes that Masai can build a contending team around him even after next year when guys like Lowry and Serge and Marcus Saul are going to probably be gone because they become free agents. I think he has, you know, the faith in Masai that he's going to be able to rebuild his team around him and Siakam.
Yo, Serge is going to be collecting seniors checks soon, man. Come on now.
And with the way he loves the city too, like maybe Toronto signs him on a minimum deal. You never know.
He's going to get that CPP check. It's all good. Let the man do his thing.
Honorary citizen. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I'm going to agree with Josh. I do think Kawhi stays. I think one thing that he really wanted when he wanted to leave San Antonio was he wanted a bigger like platform to sell his brand, sell his image, even though he's not on social media. And I think he's getting that with New Balance and kind of the success they're having on this side of the border. And I think at least down south, I'm hearing that like they're doing very well, and he's a very popular, well-liked player. And having Toronto and the market in terms of just geographically huge is big for him, and he's going to be able to express himself. He's going to be the 1A. There's not as much pressure, I think, in Toronto as there would be in LA comparing to LeBron and AD and all that. And I think Kawhi just wants the stability and wants to win and wants to get paid, and he'll get paid and get all of that in Toronto. So here's the hopefully saying he signs, but it is very 50-50, but my gut's saying Toronto.
Yeah, I hear that. I think it'll be Toronto too, but it's kind of wild to think that you have a finals MVP who's got, like, even thinking about leaving the next year. When was the last time that happened?
Or all the reports are bullshit from ESPN and he's wanted to stay the entire time. Like, the thing I want most out of this is come June 30th at 6 p.m., he re-signs with the Raptors, and he doesn't even take a meeting with the Clippers just to say, like, a big F you to Woj and, you know, Steve Ballmer working in cahoots together.
Were there actually reports that he's taking meetings?
Yeah, the report came out yesterday that he's supposed to meet with the Clippers on July 2nd.
After Canada Day, though.
Yay, Toronto Canada Day celebrations.
And supposedly he also has another meeting scheduled with Dallas, which is interesting.
Whoa. Well, I mean, they do have a lot of cap space.
They do, and if he went there, young players. I mean,
that team would be incredible.
That would be a young dynasty waiting to happen.
Luka, KP, Kawhi. Woo! Can imagine it now. And all right, moving on.
Willing to spend money, too.
Moving on. It's over. Kevin Durant tore his Achilles during the finals. Was pretty much out the door as far as everyone knows. Like, the guy was basically in New York already. And now I don't know, man. I have a feeling he's going to stay in Golden State for at least another year, opt into his contract for $31.5 million, and just spend the year rehabbing. I mean, I would. Why would you go to New York now? Let them rebuild, let them do their thing, and then go there next year.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the big thing with Kevin Durant is like narrative. I think him staying on with like the current contract or even potentially extending it's become an option ever since he got that torn Achilles. And I think he's kind of in a position where he doesn't have to make a decision now. He can see how the next year plays out, how good of a team are the Lakers in terms of, are they going to be a contenders for many years to come, or is it worthwhile staying in Golden State and trying to like beat them? Is New York going to put the pieces around him to succeed for next year? Like, he doesn't have to make a decision. So I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up just taking the player option or doing a 1-1 or something like that in Golden State. But I really do think he's going to stay there this year, and we're going to ask the same question in 365 days of where he's going next.
I think he's going to Brooklyn. I think he's going to go with Kyrie to Brooklyn, because I think that's, you know, it's been a story that's been talked about the entire season, is these two guys want to play together. Yeah. And I think they're going to make it happen. I think they have the two max slots now, and, you know, the couple of trades that they made. And I think that they know something, and I think that's what's going to happen. I think that Kevin Durant's going to probably sit out until March or April, maybe come back for the playoffs. And that team is going to be pretty stacked both those guys do go there, because they already, it's like the Clippers, they're basically like the Clippers of the East. And that they have a lot of younger players.
So who would?
What's that?
Let's assume that Kyrie and KD go there. So you have the one and whatever Durant is, like a four, I guess. You have Torian Prince at the three. Who's the two? Joe Harris?
I'd say Caris LeVert.
Oh, true. Oh, yeah. How did I forget Caris? Yeah. And then Jared Allen at the five. That's an interesting mix, right? Like, it's a bunch of young guys and then two veterans. Two ball dominant veterans. I don't know if that team would actually do well in the playoffs, but that is really interesting to think about.
They also have Torian Prince from the trade with Atlanta.
Yeah, you love Torian.
Just like he's on my fantasy, so he did well at least when he played. But I think like Josh said, they're like the Clippers of the East. But I don't think Kevin Durant's going to make that move with Kyrie. I think he's going to play it safe, like. I feel like he wants to be loved. Like, I think that's the story with Kevin Durant. Like, some players want to get paid. Some players want to get big media deals. Like, he just wants to be loved. And, I think that kind of narrative of him coming back from the injury, maybe helping Steph he'll probably come back after Klay comes back. Just in terms of like the injury, and him maybe guiding that team to a finals or to a Western Conference finals will be kind of his road to recovery. And then next year he'll make that decision. So I say he's staying put.
Josh, why would he go to Brooklyn this year instead of waiting till next year?
Well, I think like Kawhi, he's going to want long-term security. So I don't think he's going to go for the 1-1 after tearing his Achilles tendon. I don't think that's not really a smart move. You know, as an agent, I don't really see how he could, you know, guide Kevin Durant in that direction. I know he's still Kevin Durant. He's like one of the top 10 players of all time. But at the same time, like, who knows how he's going to come back? Like, it's pretty positive that a few of the, you know, most recent guys who had Achilles tears have done okay since they come back. Like Rudy Gay has been all right. I think Boogie's going to come back pretty strong next year as well. And he had his moments in the
finals. Wes Matthews.
But Kevin Durant's not a guy who like packed on a ton of weight like, you know, Boogie. And he's probably going to come back fine. But again, you want that long-term security being 31 years old.
Yeah. Yeah, so you're saying it's going to be a long-term deal, and it's going to be to the Brooklyn Nets. Like, why not the Knicks? Why not re-sign with Golden State? Like, why not consider the Clippers? Like, is it just Kyrie's going to persuade him?
I think if he goes elsewhere, he's going to want to play with Kyrie, because supposedly these guys are best friends. And again, this has been like a talking point for like the whole higher level reporters the last year or so. I think where there's smoke, there's fire. And I think that's going to be where he's going to end up going. I think the other option is the Clippers. I think that it is a possibility he goes there as well. But the Knicks, he's not going to the Knicks. I mean, unless Kyrie somehow changes the narrative in the next couple of days and signs there instead. But they have nobody around those guys. So why would you sign with the Knicks in the same city? Or why wouldn't you sign with a much better built roster who actually made the playoffs this year? We have a lot of younger guys that can fit around them in Brooklyn.
Because you can be the savior that brought the Knicks a championship. Or brought them back to the playoffs, realistically.
You know, every single time the Knicks have any type of cap space, that's the narrative that goes behind it. And yet all the free agents are like, nah, fuck that.
Who's our savior? Carmelo Anthony went.
No, he got traded there, though.
Yeah, but he demanded that trade. Like, he forced his way out of Denver to the Knicks specifically.
And, you know, the Knicks jumped the gun and traded their entire team for him, and they couldn't build around him properly. So, typical Knicks.
Yeah, they done messed up.
As usual.
Yeah. Let's transition into Kyrie then, since he's already... Remember what earlier in this year when Kyrie said at, like, a public school or something that he would be honored if Boston would have him back? And then, obviously, there's a lot of turmoil with this team. None of the guys get along. The veterans and the young guys just, like, clash constantly. Terry Rozier throwing shade at Kyrie. And now Kyrie's just out the door? He's been out of the door since the beginning of the playoffs, to be honest. Like, that dude is being checked out. And it's not, like, I understand why. None of the young guys really want to show you respect. Psh, I'm out. Take my ass to Brooklyn. It's pretty much confirmed at this point, right?
Yeah. I think he's gone. I think there's like absolutely 0% chance he re-signs with Boston. Now, where he goes next, I feel like Kyrie's going to actually like join another superstar, whether that's Kevin Durant and making a decision. Or I still think there's a chance that like he ends up going to the Lakers if they open up enough money for him. Because I feel like he just wants to go where like the action's hot, like where it's a hot spot. And I think he's kind of had his little experiment playing in Boston without a superstar. So I think if KD doesn't come with him, I don't think he's going to Brooklyn, even though he signed with the agency like Roc Nation agency, which I think is like heavily affiliated with the Brooklyn Nets. So I do see him joining another superstar. I don't want to say who right now because I don't even think Kyrie knows, but I think he's going to join up with even Kevin Durant, LeBron James, another A-list player.
Yo, yeah. Kyrie going back to LA to be with LeBron would be absolutely amazing. That'd be like just go full circle. You know what I mean? He's gone away. He's already learned his lessons. He's like sucked up to LeBron during his 2 years in Boston. He said he's learned a lot. They're still friends, blah, blah, blah. And now just like go back to the guy with your tail between your legs.
Yeah, but it'd be wrong. Like whatever.
It'd be incredible. It'd be the best storyline.
I think you also have to look at it from the other side of things with Anthony Davis. I think if you get Kyrie Irving with LeBron, then Anthony Davis is not going to be happy throughout the season not getting the ball. Like, he's not going to accept the Kevin Love first box role. He's way better than those guys.
No. Didn't you know Kyrie and Anthony Davis are like best friends too? Kyrie's best friends with every superstar in the league. It's so stupid, man. I don't know. It's annoying.
But until he goes to their team and then just hates them and doesn't talk to them the entire playoffs.
Yeah, and then he just like bitches to whoever like veteran they bring in. It doesn't really matter. Korver? Yeah, like, whatever. I don't know. I think he's going to Brooklyn too.
I mean, before the, you know, all the talk about Brooklyn like a month ago, everyone thought he was going to the Knicks and then Kevin Durant was going to follow. So I think the Knicks are still a possibility. I think he's the type of guy that, you know, obviously loves New York and wants to play in the Garden. And maybe he is the guy that brings New York back to the glory days. But I don't know. He's going to be miserable no matter where he goes because he's just a miserable dude.
He's just a sad dude. Let's move on then. A more realistic option for the Lakers is Kemba Walker. 29 years old, he's somehow not the highest paid player on the Charlotte Hornets. I think he's like fifth or sixth. We've talked about this a bunch.
Yeah.
And he's finally an unrestricted free agent. My man needs to get paid this summer. And LA could be the spot. I mean, you've already got LeBron, you've got AD. You just need a point guard now, right? And then you have six players on your roster. So, throw the bank at Kemba Walker, man.
I'm going to say this. It all comes down to, is Kemba Walker a man of money or does he want to win? Because Charlotte can probably offer him the most money, but he's not going to win there. Or is he going to take enough money and be in an organization that can actually manage, unlike the Charlotte Hornets, and complete offense to them?
Well, hold on. We don't know if the Lakers can manage anything either.
No, but I'm not saying the Lakers. Like, he could easily go to Boston. He could find himself in a situation, especially if the Nets end up losing D'Angelo Russell. He could end up in a situation where he might end up in Brooklyn, or, like, there's a lot of places where he could go, like, especially in a league that's dominated by guards, and he's had, what, a career year. He was an all-NBA player. He's a very, very good player, and I think his game will continue to improve. He's probably hit close to a ceiling, but a lot of teams would love to have a player like Kemba Walker, and he could get paid, just probably not as much as Charlotte. So it really comes down to, does he want a lot of money or does he want to win?
Well, I think he's gonna get a lot of money anyway, just a matter of like how much money he really wants. I mean, how much money exactly one guy really spend, you know? What's the difference between like $140 million and $200 million?
A lot.
There's, it sounds like, well, there's 60 million.
Yeah, I know that, but like, you really going to spend that in your lifetime? I think with him, man. Like, I would rather go to a team that actually knows what they're doing and can actually build a team around you. Because, you know, even if he re-signs in Charlotte, they have no cap space this year. So it's not like they can reshape their roster right away and be able to build a contending team around him. And he's already, like, they've already shown him in the last, you know, 4 years, especially when they actually had cap space, and signing guys like Bismack Biyombo for $72 million that they have no idea what the hell they're doing. So, I don't know. I think he's also risking his health going back to Charlotte because he's going to have to carry such a load there the next 4 or 5 years. And, you know, he's obviously in his prime right now, but how many prime years does he have left? Maybe 3, 4? And do you really want to spend that in Charlotte with a contract that's going to be basically untradeable for at least 2 years? I wouldn't want to do that.
Yeah, it's like a, what, 5 year, $220 million is what I'm reading, and that's probably another $30 or $40 million more than any other team can offer.
Yeah, and plus Charlotte can offer the extra year, and in giving them that much money, they sort of handicap themselves even more. I mean, even if they had money, they'd fuck it up anyway because they're a terrible franchise, but, you know, I mean, in having that on the books, you know, $40-plus million a year, it's sort of like, it's not, you know, it's not the same thing as John Wall, but if Kemba got injured, it's pretty much the same contract as John Wall and what, like, you know, Blake Griffin got as well. So it's hard to build around that kind of contract, especially when he's not in the top tier of players.
What if Mark Cuban just dumps a Brinks truck to him?
No, I mean, like, that'd, those are two options, right? Outside of Charlotte is going to be Boston and Dallas, according to the reports from yesterday. And I think that's an interesting fit. I mean, Kemba's a really good catch and shoot player. I mean, he wasn't good coming into the NBA, but the last 2 years he's been plus 40%. He get a lot of looks next to Luka and Porzingis, and they're obviously looking for a third star on that team right away. So I think that'd be a nice fit. And then Boston, they have, you know, a bunch of swing players around him, and I think he'd fit well in their culture as well.
He'd be great in Boston, and then he can kick Terry Rozier's ass out the door. I mainly just want Rozier gone from that roster, man.
You'll get a lot of playing time in Charlotte when he goes there and gets, replaces Kemba.
Yeah, they should just do a sign and trade, honestly.
That'd be incredible. Terry Rozier for Kemba Walker. What a deal. Oh, my God. All right, moving on. Klay Thompson.
Wait, hold on a second. Who do we actually think is going to get Kemba Walker?
I think he's going to Dallas.
I could see a situation where him going to Dallas makes a lot of sense. I think Boston will try to get another player, probably another player we're going to talk about going forward. But yeah, I think Dallas as well.
I'm going to say he's going to Boston.
Just to be a contrarian, or you actually think that?
Just to be a contrarian. I sort of think he's going to Dallas.
All right, now can I move on to Klay Thompson?
You may.
Oh, man, I don't even know how to describe it. Klay Thompson was having an incredible game. Like, it looked like he could have dropped 50 during that game six, right? Like, he was on pace. And then that dunk attempt, that foul by Danny Green from behind. Obviously, it was not like a dirty play or anything, but my man jogged in the hallway, took free throws, and then wanted to play D on no ACL. That's a bad dude, man. Golden State has to pay this man whatever he wants. Full max, all the way.
Yeah, like I think this is going to be the shortest free agent segment. Like they have to pay him. He's one of the original Splash Brothers. He put it all out for the team. If you don't pay him, no other free agent in the future is going to look at your team and give you a lot of respect in terms of just as a front office, especially with the league now focusing more on load management and taking care of players and all that. Like Klay Thompson's going to get a max offer from Golden State. He's going to sign there. He's going to be with Steph Curry for probably his entirety of his career. And I think case closed. Like, I don't think there's any discussion.
Yeah, I would agree with that, too. I think he's staying in Golden State. I don't see why he wouldn't stay there. I mean, he's been with them his entire career. He has a great role there, obviously. And he has improved a lot over the last couple of years. Like, I always thought that Klay couldn't go to another team and be, like, you know, either 1A or be, like, the star player. But after, you know, he's playing the finals against the Toronto Raptors, like, he's legit. I have a newfound respect for him.
Klay can do whatever he wants.
Yeah. He would be a great fit on pretty much every NBA team. Like, everyone.
Yeah. I mean, he's the most improved version of a 3-and-D player you can have who can actually carry a load. Of course, like, anyone would want that. But we're all in consensus. He's staying in Golden State. They're going to give him the max offer. It isn't, like, whatever. He's going to take a year to recover, and then he'll be back.
Just going back to my ESPN hatred just for a moment. on the Woj Low podcast yesterday, Woj was talking about, you know, if Golden State doesn't pony up and give him the full max, that he's going to the Clippers. So there's that. Because everybody's going to the Clippers, according to Woj.
Woj is just shit disturbing at this point, right?
No, he's getting paid under the table, man. I can't wait till that scandal comes out and then Shams just takes over.
Yeah, Shams has been quiet this year, dude. I have not heard much from that guy. He's busy writing now.
Yeah, he's sleeping, man. Right before free agency begins, he's like, he's hibernating. He's getting his like 1 week of rest before he pulls like 7 days of all nighters.
He's powering up right now.
He's gonna drop like Kyrie Irving to the Charlotte Hornets or something.
I hope somebody random like breaks the Kawhi news, like Leo Routens.
No,
please, God, please, no. Please, no.
At least make it like Michael Grange. I don't want Leo. Oh, God.
That'd be hilarious. Leo has inside sources, Peter.
Yeah, it's Leo. He's his own source. He's going to break it to himself.
That guy's used half the hair gel in Canada.
Oh, God. I'm done talking about Leo. Let's move on. Kristaps Porzingis, guys. 23 years old, the unicorn. Coming from New York. Didn't like the situation. Left the team last summer without doing an exit interview. Is now a member of the Dallas Mavericks. He's on an RFA, so he's restricted. And obviously Dallas is just going to pay him whatever he wants, right? That's the reason they got him. They're planning to pay him as much money as they can. And he's going to, like, he's already rehabbed. He's already practicing now. It looks like he's going to be good to go for the start of training camp. So Dallas is pretty much just ready to go with this guy.
I didn't really understand the talk last offseason once they traded for him. About him going into restricted free agency and taking the qualifying offer and then becoming unrestricted the next year. It's like, why would he turn down 5 years, $158 million, to become unrestricted when he's going to a good organization that's going to build a good team and he also has, like, maybe the, you know, best young player in the NBA next to him as well? I never really understood that talk, so. There's already been reports yesterday that Dallas is going to offer him the full max once the moratorium's lifted. And it's 5 years, 158, so I can't really see him turning that down to become an unrestricted free agent next year. Yeah. It doesn't really make a lot of sense.
I think it was more so if New York was to keep him or if they sent him to like another, like a garbage organization. You know what I mean? It was only one of those situations where if I'm not happy with where I am, then I'm going to fully opt out and like say, screw you guys. But yeah, it was kind of weird that the reports came out as soon as he got traded because we didn't hear anything before that either, right?
Well, supposedly, like, they're in an Uncle Dennis type of situation with Porzingis. I think his brother handles all of his affairs sort of like Uncle Dennis does with Kawhi. And, I mean, I don't think Dallas was part of the teams that he listed that he wanted to go to. So when he first got there, more of that talk was out there and that he wanted to go to, like, I think Toronto was on the list too, which is sort of odd. But there was, like, four different teams, like Brooklyn, Toronto, and there was two other teams I can't remember. But, again, I can't really see him leaving a really good organization like Dallas, leaving Luka when those two are, you know, going to create magic together in the next couple of years.
He would have been the Andrea Bargnani that they never had.
Yeah, Andrea was supposed to be Kristaps, so it would have been nice.
But, yeah, I think he's going to sign that offer sheet with Dallas, especially with having a young player in Luka. And they have enough space to get another big free agent like Kemba. So I think that's a very good situation for him. And I think he's just liking it in terms of playing in that organization with like a Hall of Famer and Dirk kind of probably having a role with the team going forward as well.
All right, moving on. Josh's favorite player in the league, Jimmy G. Butler. He's an unrestricted free agent. He's currently making around 20. He's probably going to make 30 this year with a team who's just going to, you know, go after the second tier guy, basically, right? You can't get your hands on a Kawhi Leonard or a Kevin Durant. Obviously not a Klay Thompson, so you have to pay somebody. You're going to Jimmy Butler. He's proven in the playoffs. He obviously likes the big stage. He's been linked to teams like, obviously, Philly. Rumors are to the Lakers somehow. The most current rumor is to Houston in like a sign-in trade where at least like two out of three players between Capella, Eric Gordon, or PJ Tucker would need to go. Like there's a lot swirling around this guy, but Houston seems to be at least the most recent speculation.
Yeah, and I mean if he goes to Houston, that's a stacked team as long as
you know. Not really.
No,
because they
no,
still I have disagree. Chris Paul.
Yeah, I disagree.
Because they're not going to trade Capella because Philadelphia's not going to want him. He's not going to play backup minutes behind Embiid. So it's going to be a trade, like you said, with you know PJ Tucker and Eric Gordon. And then you have Chris Paul, James Harden, Jimmy Butler, Capella, and then whoever they fill in at power four. That's a pretty stacked team in a West that no longer has the best team of all time in it.
Yeah, but I just think that, like, I know we talked about the fit, like, a couple of years ago when Chris Paul came and joined the Rockets, but, like, I feel like you have a lot of players in that situation that need the ball to be successful, and there's just not enough ball to go around. And what made Houston an amazing team was they had role players like PJ Tucker who knew their role and did it probably at the best level they could, and obviously elite defense with PJ Tucker, and Eric Gordon was a very good ISO player and he could shoot the three and space the floor. Like I feel like you lose that when you have Jimmy Butler. Not to say he's not a good player, I just don't think he's a good fit. And they're gonna have to give up more than just PJ Tucker and Eric Gordon for Jimmy Butler. They're gonna probably have to give up two firsts as well. And I think you're really gutting a lot for a player that makes your team marginally better. Like if anything, if you look at how the Raptors won this year, they had a lot of good players. And they had a good system around how they played. And they had one big key guy, which is Harden for them. So they just have to make sure their pieces around them are a bit better. I think that's the way they should go. But I don't know. I think that Daryl Morey just has a very big obsession with Jimmy Butler.
Morey just likes having stars, right? Like he's always been like this. He's always gone after the biggest guys on the market. So this is right in line with like his own strategy constantly.
Yeah, just I don't know. I just don't think that Jimmy Butler is worth four first-round draft picks that he offered to Minnesota or, well, probably better than the trade he's offering now to Philadelphia. And I don't even think Philly wants the trade. I don't think they want more contracts on their books.
Yeah, and Philadelphia can offer more money and more years, I believe, too, right? So, I don't know. I think that he's better off staying with Philadelphia. I mean, he was basically a hero for them in the playoffs. And they seem to be favoring him over Tobias Harris, obviously, after the last playoff run with Jimmy Butler being their guy in the fourth quarter and Tobias sort of shrinking. So I think if they had the choice, they're going to pick Jimmy Butler, obviously. And I don't really see them losing both guys. I think Tobias is going to be the guy that's going to end up leaving Philadelphia. I think Jimmy Butler's going to end up re-signing with Philadelphia.
Yeah, I could see that. I like, here's an interesting proposition. For one of those teams that's kind of set up, like, I know we talked a bit about the Clippers potentially going after like a 1B kind of guy if they don't end up getting Kawhi or Kevin Durant. Could you see the Knicks going after like a Jimmy Butler or Tobias Harris just to like fill their salary cap?
It is the Knicks. Definitely. And they love signing guys like this to massive contracts and then it not working out. So if Jimmy Butler goes there, it's like a perfect fit.
Yeah, and he loves... Yeah, and they love, like, especially with Jimmy Butler, I think he loves the big stage and he loves to be like the center of attention and he loves fashion and all that. So, like, I feel like he'd just like settle in like right away. I just don't think it's the right move for the Knicks, but what do we know?
I think if he goes to the Knicks, we're going to have a situation where there's like the first time ever where like an owner and a player fight on the court.
That'd be awesome. That'd be so funny.
My money's on Jimmy.
I don't know, man. Dolan's got a lot of security guards. That's all it would be,
true,
right?
True.
Send his goons out.
Yeah, Jimmy Butler's not John Wick. He's going down.
Oh, man. Yeah, I think Jimmy's going to end up staying in Philly, too. It's sort of funny how his last year went with them, right? Like, he shows up, hits two game winners in, like, three nights. Obviously, he becomes the guy in the clutch time, like, clutch performances. And then they get Tobias Harris. He obviously like chills out for a while, does his thing. Plays more of like a point guard role, which is kind of weird for Jimmy Butler. And then as soon as the playoffs came, like he turned it right back on. And he obviously led the team. He became all buddy-buddy with Joel Embiid, which was really interesting to see. He sort of took the reins over from Ben Simmons and then never let them go. So I could definitely see him staying in Philly and just riding the wave.
Yeah, I think that makes the most sense, and he wants to get paid. Obviously, he got into the now famous argument with Wolves front office, and in terms of just taking on the third stringers because they paid Andrew Wiggins and Kat before they paid him. So I think he's going to get paid, and I think Philly makes the most sense. And Philly's going to want to keep one of those two players, and Butler's probably the better investment.
And the other dark horse team, obviously, we've already mentioned it before, is the Clippers, because he said he wanted to go there when he first wanted out of Minnesota. So if they do strike out, maybe it is a possibility he does go there and they save their second max slot for the next offseason.
Yeah, but I just don't think the Clippers are going to go for that. I feel like they're not really getting a big, big upgrade over Tobias Harris, and they went away from that direction because they really want a Kevin Durant, Kawhi Leonard type of player.
I mean, I think that's a big upgrade. I didn't see Tobias Harris in the playoffs.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
That's a major upgrade.
I don't know. I don't think it's the same level, obviously, as Kawhi and Kevin Durant. Like, I feel like they're going for, like, the big fish.
Well, yeah, he's a consolation prize, right?
Exactly. And I feel like they'll just build, let their role players play another year. And then I don't know who's there for next free agency, but I just don't see him going to the Clippers, but who knows?
All right, well, let's talk about a former Clipper who we've mentioned a bunch just now, Tobias Harris. Obviously was traded to Philly around the deadline. Didn't really have as spectacular of a time in Philadelphia as people thought, right? Like, he went in there, everyone thought he would be that power forward that would hit shots, he would rebound well, he could lead the team in scoring whenever Joel was out. And then he just never had, like, he never got into the flow of the team. He had a couple of big games, but all in all, he was really quiet. I don't really see him re-signing in Philadelphia at all.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. Like, he's the one free agent where nobody really has any idea where he's going. So in going through the cap space for, like, the different teams that actually have cap space this offseason, the one dark horse team that nobody's really talking about that actually has a third most amount of cap space this year is Sacramento. Surprisingly, they have 10 players that are signed right now. And then they obviously have Willie Cauley-Stein, who just demanded a trade. And they told Sacramento if they don't get the trade, they're going to take the qualifying offer. They're going to like demand the qualifying offer, essentially, so you can become an unrestricted free agent next offseason. So Sacramento has about $60 million in cap space, and they don't have a power forward because, you know, this year they played Bielitsa there for, you know, a good portion of the season until Harrison Barnes got there. But Harrison Barnes obviously is now unrestricted. Okay. He didn't take his player option for $25 million, which is one of the weirdest moves that we've seen thus far in the offseason.
Yeah. Hey, he wants to be a winner, man. Don't blame the guy for that.
He wants like a 3-year, like $60 million deal. That's what he wants.
And he might get that with Sacramento, I guess. But, you know, if I'm Sacramento and I see that Harrison Barnes is opting out of his contract, I'm, you know, celebrating and, you know, getting the vodka out. So now, Sacramento again has $60 million, and I can see Tobias Harris being a big target for them. He's in his prime, obviously. They need a power forward, and I think he fit in really well with their team and, you know, them playing a really up-tempo type of style. And he's the type of guy that doesn't really need the ball in his hands a lot. He plays off of other players. That's his best role. And he would get a ton of open looks playing with, you know, De'Aaron Fox and Buddy Hield out there. So I think he'd be a nice fit in Sacramento. And the other teams I can see him possibly going to, if he doesn't re-sign with Philadelphia, Brooklyn, if they do end up striking out and getting Kevin Durant or, you know, a Kawhi Leonard or one of the top-tier free agents besides Kyrie. Because they have a second max slot, you could see Kyrie going there and then Tobias being the second guy because they still need a power forward there as well. And then obviously we go back to like the lower level teams, the New York Knicks. If they strike out on everybody, the Knicks love to pay overpay free agents. And, you know, Tobias would be a great fit there, and that's the case. And the last one is Phoenix. I think you can see Phoenix, you know, freeing up a little bit of cap space because they also need a power forward.
Yo, they got Dario. Come on, man.
I have no idea what they're doing. I mean, Dario's going to be up. I don't think they know either. Are you going to pay that guy? I wouldn't. I mean, with the amount of money he's probably going to demand. Like, he's a good player, but he's going to probably demand, like, starter salary at $15 million a year.
And their owner literally brought a goat into the office. Their owner brought a goat into the office, man. They don't know anything about what's happening.
No.
Yeah.
Move that team to Vancouver.
Please. That'd be great. That would be beautiful. Yeah.
But
go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, Tobias Harris is going to the state of New York. Well, maybe Brooklyn, but still state of New York. And I think he's probably going to sign with the Nets, if anything. I don't think the Nets are going to be able to get two big free agents. And I think one of the players they're going to end up signing is Tobias Harris. And I think he'll be a good fit there.
The Nets, I could see him going to the Knicks. I've heard the Mavericks are in contention for his services as well. This guy has a lot of places that he could go. I could see even maybe into like Indiana too. Fits right into that three slot since Bogdanovich is going to be leaving this summer.
Like he's got not a lot a three, of options. He's a four.
Okay, fine. Put him at the four. Is Thaddeus Young done this year or next year?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's done this year, so he's probably gone.
Well, there you go. Yeah. Tobias Harris in Indiana. I can see him fitting in there.
I like that fit.
Yeah, that's a good fit. Yeah.
There's a lot of options for the guy, right?
Yeah, he's a versatile player. He doesn't really like demand the ball too much, and he's a good player. I don't think he's a max player, but he's probably going to get paid that just because teams are going to be looking to fill voids.
Yeah. All right, that's all the time we have for part one of our free agency preview. We're going to have part two releasing tomorrow. So please stay tuned. Remember to rate and subscribe. Hit us up on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Anchor, all the major podcast platforms. Run Instagram and Twitter at Stretch4Pod. And basically until tomorrow, peace.